So, today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd Canto, Chapter 32, Entanglement in Fruitive Activities, text number 4. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Yada
Yada
Shahindra
Shahindra
Shayam
Shayam
Shete
Shete
Nana Nantasano
Nantasano
Hari
Hari
Tada
Tada
Loka
Loka
Yada chahindra shayayam
Yada chahindra shayayam
Shete nantasano hari
Shete nantasano hari
Tadalo kalayam yanti
Tadalo kalayam yanti
Tadete grihamedhinam
Tadete grihamedhinam
Yada chahindra shayayam
Yada chahindra shayayam
Tasano hari
Shetayam tasano hari
Dalokalayam yanti
Dalokalayam yanti
Jaete grihamedhinam
Jaete grihamedhinam
Yada
Yada
When
When
Sho
Sho
And
And
Ahi Indra
Ahi Indra
Of the king of snakes
Of the king of snakes
Shayayam
Shayayam
on the bed,
on the bed.
Shete,
Shete
lies,
lies.
Ananda Asana,
Ananda Asana.
He whose seat is Ananda Shesha,
he whose seat is Ananda Shesha.
Hari,
Hari,
Lord Hari,
Lord Hari.
Tada,
Tada.
Then, Loka,
Loka.
The planets,
the planets.
Layam.
Layam.
Unto dissolution,
unto dissolution.
Yanti,
Yanti.
Go,
go.
Te,
te.
Those very.
Yameninam.
Of the materialistic householders.
Of the materialistic householders.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. All the planets of the materialistic persons, including all the heavenly planets, such as the moon, are vanquished when the Supreme Personality of Godhead goes to his bed of serpents, which is known as Ananta Shesha. Purport. The materially attached are very eager to promote themselves to the heavenly planets, such as the moon. There are many heavenly planets to which they aspire just to achieve more and more material happiness by getting a long duration of life and the paraphernalia for sense enjoyment. But the attached persons do not know that even if one goes to the highest planet, Brahmaloka, destruction exists there also. In the Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says that one can even go to the Brahmaloka, but still he will find the pangs of birth, death, old age, and disease. Only by approaching the Lord's abode, the Vaikuntha Loka, does one not take birth again in the material world. The Grihamedis, or materialistic persons, however, do not like to use this advantage. They would prefer to transmigrate perpetually from one body to another, from one planet to another. They do not want the eternal blissful life and knowledge in the kingdom of God. There are two kinds of dissolution. One dissolution takes place at the end of the life of Brahma. At that time, all the planetary systems, including the heavenly systems, are dissolved in water and enter into the body of Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, who lies in the Garbhadak ocean on the bed of serpents called Shesha. In the other dissolution, which occurs at the end of Brahma's day, all the lower planetary systems are destroyed. When Lord Brahma rises after his night, these lower planetary systems are again created. The statement in Bhagavad Gita that persons who worship the demigods have lost their intelligence is confirmed in this verse. These less intelligent persons do not know that even if they are promoted to the heavenly planets, the time of dissolution, they themselves, the demigods, and all their planets will be annihilated. They have no information that eternal blissful life can be attained. Vandeha. Shri Guru, Shri Jata Kamala, Shri Guru Vaishnava, Shri Rupa, Sagra Jata, Sahagana Ragana. Sadaitam Zavadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Deva Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gaurani Prachayine Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Paschadya Deshatayine. It is quite amazing to read what Prabhupada states here about the Grihamethis, the materialistic persons. They don't want to enter into the realm of eternity, knowledge, and bliss. They want to keep transmigrating here in this world of misery. How could they be so stupid, so ignorant, so misguided, so illusioned? This is the great power of the illusory energy of the Lord. That those who want to try to imitate the Lord by being the center of existence, they will be forced to transmigrate like this, birth after birth after birth after birth. So one has to intelligently give up this desire to be the Supreme. We all came here because of this foolish desire to want to be the Supreme. As I was explaining last night at the Urban Yoga Center, to want to be the Supreme is actually less intelligent. Because actually the servant of the Supreme is described in the Vedic literatures. The servant of the Supreme enjoys more than the Supreme. That's why the Supreme Personality of Godhead, to taste, to expand his own enjoyment, becomes a devotee. He becomes Lord Chaitanya. So even the Supreme feels incomplete being the Supreme and wants to become the devotee of the Supreme. So how much wonderful it is to be a devotee of the Supreme. So much you never feel there's getting a raw deal because I'm not God. No. Actually, we're getting a super deal to be the devotee of God, a super deal. The hand wants to be the stomach. Can he do it? He can try. Take the food and the fingers. I'm not going to offer the food to the stomach. I'm just going to... I don't want to serve a stomach. I'll just take this nice glove jamun and squeeze it in my fingers. So, can the hand enjoy the glove jamun by squeezing it in the fingers? Not really. But when that hand takes that glove jamun and puts it in the mouth, then the real enjoyment begins. So the hand participates in that enjoyment of the mouth and the belly, because all the benefits, nutritional benefits of the glove jamun, they travel to the hand through the bloodstream. So it's not that one is bereft of something when you serve the Supreme. That's how you actually become the achiever of all happiness and satisfaction. So we have to be convinced of this. You see. Here we are neophytes, you know, trying to come off the material plane, trying to come to the spiritual plane. We have to be convinced of this. That I don't need illicit sex, meat eating, intoxication, and gambling. I don't need to try to enjoy the material world to find some happiness. Actually, there is no happiness here. This place is simply a desert. You will not find any satisfaction here. The more we can realize how much we are dissatisfied in material life, this will help us to achieve spiritual life. The topic that you asked me to speak on last night at the Urban Yoga Center was how dissatisfaction is the means of entering into spiritual enlightenment. So to become very dissatisfied materially, that's a very good position. There's even that popular song when I was a college kid, "I can't get no satisfaction." That's very good realization. I can't get any satisfaction here. In the song, the singer, "I tried this, I tried that, I did so many things, but still I can't get satisfied." It's a very good, actually very meaningful lyrics for that song. They took it as a fun song, but actually it has a philosophical significance. I can't get any satisfaction here. You see, I tried being Brahma. I wasn't satisfied with being Brahma. I tried being Indradev. That didn't work out for me. I tried being this. I tried being that. I even tried being an Indragopa germ, and that didn't work out either. I tried to enjoy in so many ways, and it just didn't work out. I tried being a king. I tried being a prime minister. I tried being a ditch digger. I tried being a bird, a fish, a worm. You see. I tried in so many ways to be satisfied here. I just couldn't do it. So this is actually the situation. There's absolutely no satisfaction here. Or if there is, it's of no more significance than a drop of water in the desert. If you are dying of thirst in the desert, and I come to you and I say, "Prabhu, I've got some water for you." "Oh, really?" "Yeah, stick out your tongue." I take an eyedropper, I go, ting, put a drop of water on your tongue. How much satisfaction will you get from that drop of water? You're dying of thirst, and I bring one eyedropper, stick out your tongue, and give you one drop. If there is happiness here, it's only one drop. Only one little drop, that's all it is. So, the intelligent thing to do is to analyze the situation intelligently. I have a tendency to enjoy. I want to enjoy. Why I can't enjoy? I remember when I was a youth working in one summer camp in New York State, one of the counselors said, said to me, yeah, you got to take the good with the bad. And I remember Tamal Krishna Goswami, he'd also heard the same philosophy, you got to take the good with the bad. He said, no, I don't want the bad, I only want the good. So, I mean, who wants the bad? Why do you have to take bad? You see? Material world, you're forced to take bad. But why I should have to be in that situation? Now, I want a situation where there's only good. There's no bad, you see. So someone may say, well, there is no such place. But my argument is this. If you have a nature to want only good with no bad, how can that nature even exist if it's not such a situation? You see? Just like this body has a craving for water, isn't it? So that craving for water exists along with the substance called water. We see within nature that cravings exist for things that actually exist. You don't have a craving for something that doesn't exist. There's no such thing, craving for something that doesn't exist. So therefore, if you have a craving for pure bliss with no misery, that means there is such a thing. It's logical. It's pure logic, you see. You analyze nature, you will see this phenomenon is there. That cravings do not exist for things which are not existent. Cravings exist for things which are existent. So since I have a craving for pure bliss without any suffering, therefore there must necessarily exist such a state of consciousness. And that is a fact. Confirmed by the Vedic wisdom, confirmed by the great sages, confirmed by God Himself. That stage of pure bliss is available for us. So then, how to get it? Well, you have to go to those who have it. These Vedacharyas, like Prabhupada and the previous Acharyas, they have that state of consciousness, that pure bliss of Krishna, of Prema Bhakti. You see? They're relishing unlimited ecstasy at every minute within their heart. They have that state in a pure loving relationship with Krishna. So they very mercifully have come. These great acharyas have very mercifully come into this world of misery to give us the way to get out of here, to get back to that original pure blissful state. So if we will take advantage of these great acharyas who were so kindly enduring so many difficulties just in order to give us this knowledge. It's like Papa, those heart attacks on the boat, you see. Was that fun, to have a heart attack? No, it was a very, very painful situation he went through. And just to give us this opportunity, you see, to get this knowledge. So let us take full advantage. Let us not be stupid idiots who continue running after materials. So-called material pleasure, which is actually non-existence. There is no such thing as material pleasure. It doesn't exist. It's just the illusion of pleasure. Maya Sukhaya is the term the Prabhupada has told us. Illusory happiness. It's not. There is no sukha in the material world. It's absolutely non-existent. But we think it's happiness. Everyone's called Maya Sukhaya. So why should we run after fool's gold when we can get the real thing, real gold, the ecstasy of loving Krishna, having a loving relationship with Krishna and the devotees of Krishna, you see? This is intelligence. So let us not be idiotic, let us not be stupid, let us not be foolish rascals. Let us hear from these great acharyas, like Srila Prabhupada and his predecessors. Let us hear from these great acharyas and learn how to mold our lives in such a way that we can get free from these material desires and have one desire only, and that is to satisfy Krishna. Let us take full advantage of this wonderful kindness of these great souls. And actually, that's being kind upon ourselves. You see, if you actually love yourself, you'll surrender to Krishna. You see what I'm saying? If you truly love yourself, you will surrender to Krishna. Anything besides surrendering to Krishna, you're torturing yourself. It's torturing yourself. Why would you want to torture yourself? Does that make any sense? Now, just go torture yourself. Do you think that's a very nice piece of advice? Yeah, why don't you go torture yourself? Well, that's what we're doing here. Anything besides pure bhakti is masochism, self-punishment. So let us not be foolish masochists who punish ourselves by not fully taking advantage of the mercy of Guru and Krishna. Let us become a little bit sober, a little bit intelligent. I can never forget the wonderful instruction I got when I was a young hippie songwriter hanging out with the devotees. And pretty crazy character, really, going wild on sense gratification. So there was an evening program there in one someone's house, and I went to the kitchen to get a drink of water. And so Vishnujana Swami, he was also there in the kitchen, just the two of us alone. The program going in the room, just the two of us alone in the kitchen. And he gave me a very poignant instruction that went deep, deep, deep into my heart. He said, "You have to become sober." That's all he said. It's like for the hippies, like getting sober. That's like that's not really cool. That's what the straight people do. They're sober. We got to stay high forever. You know, drink this, smoke that. You know, drop this LSD tablet or whatever. Always stay high on something. You know, that was the idea of the hippies. But it just blew my mind because I could see he was coming from a very, very high plane of transcendental bliss. I mean, he was really blissing heavy on being, you know, fully surrendered to serving Prabhupada. Even the way he would say the pranam mantras. One day in our center there on Dancy Street in Austin, I was right next to him, and I must have been offering my obeisances also, but I don't remember. He was offering obeisances. And just the way he said the prayers, it was mystical, practically. The way he said the pranam mantras. And so I could see he was on a very, very high plane. It really, you know. In fact, Prabhupada told us, actually, no, Prabhupada wrote him a letter. The letter actually came there in our center to Austin. In the old days, if a Prabhupada letter came, you just open it immediately, even if the person wasn't even there. It wasn't really good etiquette. Sometimes it got us in a little trouble. It was confidential things that we weren't supposed to hear. But anyway, we would just open as soon as a letter comes from Prabhupada, everybody, "Oh, a letter from Prabhupada came!" Everybody gathers. And he wasn't even there, and we had very bad etiquette. But we opened the letter anyway, because we were so eager. Something, Prabhupada's letter is coming. And Prabhupada, in this letter, he said, told Vishnujana Swami, he said, "When you were leading the kirtan in Los Angeles, I could feel how I was being carried to Vaikuntha." So there was something very special about his kirtans, that Prabhupada relished greatly his kirtan. So we were experiencing that ourselves also, being very much transported by his kirtan. And then when he told me, "You have to become sober," it really sobered me up a lot, you see. Because this person is, "Wow, it's being sober? Yeah, wow, I never thought that being sober was cool, you know." But being sober is like, that's the perfection of consciousness, sobriety. So, this is a good instruction for all of us to not be intoxicated by anything the material world has to offer. Fame, money, sex life, you know, tongue pleasure, this pleasure, that pleasure. Very, very poignant advice coming from the Aracharyas to cultivate sobriety. That this is my actual happiness. Become very, very sober. to understand the auspiciousness of this human form, that I've gone through millions of lives and I was totally lost in sense gratification. I didn't have any facility to even inquire about who I am, what is the purpose of my existence. But now I've gotten this great, great, great facility called human life. I can seriously inquire about who am I, what is the purpose of my existence, how can I perfect my existence, how can I get free from all suffering, you see. So we take full advantage of this life and follow the instructions of these great saintly teachers. Mahajagno Yenikatatapanta. If we follow the path of these great Mahajanas, then we have the greatest nectar awaiting us. Premanjana Chadita Bhakti Valochanena Santaksadai Vrihidayeshu Valokayanti Yam Shama Shundaramachintya Ganastarupam Govindam Hari Purusham Tamaham Bhajani. I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, who is Shama Sundar, Krishna himself, with inconceivable, innumerable attributes, whom the pure devotees see in their heart of hearts with the eye of devotion, tinged with the salve of love. So we take advantage of these great acharyas, and we can get that prema anjana, that ointment of love of God. We can anoint our eyes with that ointment, become qualified to directly experience Krishna. Of course, we're not there yet. We've got a long way to go, but step by step by step, with every mantra, with every book we distribute, with every arati we offer, all these things we're doing, whatever class we give, whatever class we attend, whatever service we render to our Prabhus, the Vaishnavas, our masters. Every little thing we do, every Mangal Arti we attend, every Guru Puja we attend, these things are accumulating, you see, cumulative effect. And they will gradually, gradually elevate us into that pure state of consciousness where we can directly experience Krishna face to face. So if there's any questions, I can try to answer them. The question should be related to what we spoke about today. Any questions? Here comes one. If it's totally off the subject, I'll table it. Give me at least one. You can unfold it, okay. Right. How to deal with attachment developed to the opposite gender due to prolonged doing any particular service together, especially when stopping that service is not possible. I know that when I was a brahmachari, I had the good grace of 14 years of brahmachari life. It's a very, very wonderful opportunity I had. And I wrote Prabhupada a letter and asked him about brahmachari life. And Prabhupada told me that a brahmachari and a brahmacharini should never be alone together. Never. So you shouldn't be like, shouldn't be a brahmachari and a brahmacharini like a pujari room, you know, it's all alone, nobody's around, just the two of you. That situation shouldn't be there, because it becomes very disturbing. Oh, here we are alone together, you know. Prabhupada said, how much talking there should be? Prabhupada said, talk almost nil. Now, in coming together like this in a class, we can openly talk freely, with no restriction. But a brahmachari and a brahmacharini, they should, whatever, if they need to communicate something for the service, but otherwise, Prabhupada said, talk almost nil. So, if one follows these guidelines that Prabhupada has given, when that letter came to me, it went on every bulletin board in every ISKCON temple. It's considered a very important letter for the whole movement. If one follows that, to not necessarily talk with the opposite gender and just do your service, do your business, then you'll be okay. So you go like, oh, Prabhu, how did you come to Krishna consciousness? You see, this is not what you should be doing, some service like that together. Better be serving in a separate situation, not in the same place. Why has Srila Prabhupada emphasized so much on visiting the holy dhams when all the same time he said that the dhams also reside in each temple? Well, Prabhupada did encourage everyone. The Mayapur Vrindavan festival was a big thing when Prabhupada was here. So everyone was encouraged. This is by going to Mayapur Vrindavan and experiencing Lord Chaitanya and Radha Krishna in these sublime atmospheres. This will actually help you to more deeply experience Radha and Krishna and Lord Chaitanya here in Melbourne. What is the science of Krishna consciousness? Is there any material science in it? The science of Krishna consciousness includes everything. The material nature is also within it. Bhumi rupo nalavayu kam mano vidari vacha. You see, the science of Krishna consciousness also analyzes the material nature. In fact, the Vedic science, the science of Krishna consciousness, has a perfect understanding of the material nature. The material scientists do not have a perfect understanding of the material nature. That's why they have to keep revising their textbooks every few years. They rewrite their textbooks. So these material scientists are actually material ni-scientists. They're propagators of ignorance. And some of them are... There's one scientist who's very intelligent in this regard. He's a Christian, actually, in Britain. Dr. Rupert Shelton, he says, he's written a book called The Scientific Delusion. He's very critical of the scientists in general because of their bias against spirit. Spirit is immediately rejected, blindly, you see. They immediately reject the spiritual reality without any evidence. It's just a dogmatic rejection of spirit, you see. So, of course, he has a spiritual perspective. And many of the arguments that he gives are from Prabhupada also. So it's very nice to see material scientists, at least one scientist, material scientist, is coming to some of these conclusions. The same thing we've heard from Prabhupada. So, the science of why is Krishna consciousness called a science? Well, Raja Vidya Raja Guyam. This is the topmost science, topmost knowledge. Scientific means it's not imaginary, or it's based on solid evidence. Krishna is a scientific fact. The existence of Krishna is a scientific fact. The whole process of self-realization taught by Srila Prabhupada is a scientific fact. It's not just some make-believe hocus pocus. It's more scientific than their so-called science. More scientific. It's perfectly scientific. Yes.
You mentioned that the spiritual world is all bliss.
Let me turn my hearing aid amplifier on. Spiritual world is
all bliss.
All
bliss.
Blissful?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And that people say that we need to have the suffering with the pleasure.
In the material world, they've got to take the good with the bad, you
know. Yeah. So if everything's all bliss in the spiritual world, right, how is there, and considering that the spiritual world is the source of everything, how do we, how is that exchange of all bliss have variety within it?
Variety is of mellows.
Yes, that's right.
And so, you do have apparent suffering in the spiritual world also.
Yes,
like the gopis being separated from Krishna. Yeah.
That's right. So,
so how
there,
is
there bad in the spiritual world if it's the source of the, you know, the,
is the bad a source of bliss?
No. No. Is there bad, so called bad?
B-A-D?
Yeah, in the spiritual world, so that we can relish the mellows of spiritual things.
There are varieties of, just like, well, just like separation is considered bad. Oh, I'm separated from my beloved. Oh, it's so horrible, you know, it's a horrible thing. Though that's, you do have that, just like in Krishna's pastimes, you may say it was really bad that Krishna left Vrindavan and went to, yeah, but the Brajavasis were plunged into an ocean of absolute, unbelievably incredible, incredibly miserable situation. So there's also bad in Krishna's pastimes, but this is transcendental. Actually, Krishna simply, his apparent bad thing of leaving Vrindavan was only apparent because it is stated, Vrindavanam puritraja napada ekam gacchati. Krishna actually never sets even a foot outside of Vrindavan. So what is this so-called departure from Vrindavan? Why is he plunging the Vrindavasis into this ocean of grief where they're just absolutely devastated, with mortified, with the heaviest anxiety you could ever possibly imagine? This is actually increasing the transcendental bliss of the Vrindavasis. That so-called bad is actually the highest, the ecstasy of being separated from your beloved is even greater than the ecstasy of being your beloved. You see? Even in the material world, I remember there was this pop song called he's separated from his girlfriend by this, and then some reason, every day I send her a letter sealed with a kiss. You see? You know, it's been a long, lonely summer, and darling, I miss you so much, but every day I send you a letter sealed with a kiss. So, that's, in other words, when you're separated from your beloved, and you, when you're with your beloved, you talk some word, affectionate words, and they're pretty affectionate. But when you're separated from your beloved, the affection, the affection you would express is like 10,000 times more affectionate in separation. So when Krishna separates himself, actually he's becoming even more manifest. There's a whole book by one of the Goswamis about this in great detail. I think I carry it with me. I read it sometimes on the airplane. One of the, our Padma Lokshana Prabhu has translated a wonderful book about this whole phenomenon of Krishna leaving Vrindavan and what it did, how the Brijabhasis, how they were transformed by them. Then of course there's the whole Leela of Krishna. As when I first time I was with Prabhupada in San Francisco at the Rathayatra festival, he mentioned the original Rathayatra celebration, how the Dwarkavasis, the Vrijavasis, they came together on the occasion of the solar eclipse. They came together at Kurukshetra. So this was a very intense experience for the Vrijavasis. They hadn't seen Krishna for so long. They'd been mortified by his separation. And now they're seeing Krishna again. But this is not our Krishna. This is a Dwarka prince. This is not our Vrajabasi village boy. This is a Dwarka prince. They were looking at him, but they weren't satisfied. So in their hearts, they were pulling him back to Vrindavan. Come back to Vrindavan, back to Vrindavan, back to Vrindavan. So this is the whole mood of the Ratha Yatra. You see, this is the esoteric, there's the exoteric Ratha Yatra, singing and dancing, Haribo, Haribo. But even higher bliss is the esoteric Ratha Yatra. The Brijabhasis are in absolute mortification. They're practically dead, being separated from Krishna. So now let us bring Krishna back to Vrindavan and bring the Brijabhasis back to life. So we're pulling that rope, now we're bringing Krishna back to Vrindavan, back to Vrindavan. This is what Prabhupada explains, how very advanced Vaishnavas, how they meditate like this. Of course, we're not very advanced, but still we can try to become a little advanced by thinking like this when we pull that rope. So, but this is in Vaishnava philosophy, you have these ecstasies of pain, painful ecstasies, which are actually the highest ecstasy. The ecstasy of meeting is not as ecstatic as the ecstasy of the pain of separation. This is the understanding. It's pretty phenomenal.
So we can relish the bad in the spiritual form. We can relish the bad, so-called bad, in the spiritual realm, right? Can we also take advantage of the bad in the material realm?
This was just the subject matter of my lecture last night at the Urban Yoga Center, that how you can use dissatisfaction as we use dissatisfaction to enter into the spiritual enlightenment. Kunti Devi was experiencing like that. She said, distress is the best thing for my Krishna consciousness. Vipada shanti chashasva tatta tatta jagadguru bhavanam dashanam yashad apana bhavadashanam. Let that distress come to me again and again, because when I'm in distress, then I can really experience Krishna.
But we don't want it.
That's because we're stupid neophytes. We think, no distress. Temple president says, do this service, but that'll make me distressful. I don't We don't want distress, you see. Prabhupada said, I am whipping them, distribute books, but I don't want to go out and book distribution. Prabhupada, you see. Actually, the more we can embrace distress, they become liberated souls. The more we can take difficulties upon ourselves for pleasing our spiritual master, pleasing Prabhupada, the more we can embrace difficulties, that is how we become completely free from difficulties. So, these are really nice points.
And it's also what makes us sober.
Sober?
Yeah. Learning to tolerate.
That's
the
right.
And the downs. And
so there, on one hand you have giddiness, on the other hand you have sobriety, you see. Giddiness means you want to, enjoy some kind of a pleasure materially, even within Krishna consciousness. But sobriety means happiness and distress now are actually the same thing. It doesn't matter anymore, happiness. As long as I can please Krishna, as long as I can please Guru, happiness and distress don't even matter anymore, you see. They don't matter.
I was looking at that trailer, the shorts for the new movie, the Yadavar's movie.
Yadavar's movie?
The shorts. Hari Sori was saying that whenever Prabhupada had a challenge,
yeah,
he took it as a, he liked the fight.
Yeah.
And he would embrace it.
Yeah.
And take it on. He wouldn't be
careful. Yeah. Yeah.
He wouldn't be, you know, he wouldn't be discouraged.
Prabhupada said, I act like a king because nobody can defeat me. Yeah, I mean, actually, it's very exciting. I mean, the way I look at it is this. Prabhupada gave us an order to deliver the whole world. He did, in Los Angeles, he said, become guru and deliver the whole world. So, I say, well, that's impossible, you know. But we should embrace the challenge of trying to make the world Krishna conscious. I mean, it probably won't happen, because it's predicted it will happen within the by Krishna Das Kaviraj, but you know, it could take a few thousand years. But we should embrace that world deliverance mission with great intensity, with great enthusiasm, even though it seems absolutely impossible, like shooting, like going rhino hunting or something, you know, it seems impossible. We should embrace it. Let me live my life in such a way that I can do as much as I possibly can to establish Krishna consciousness as the world religion. That kind of revolutionary zeal is very favorable for our Krishna consciousness.
We're always facing some difficulty. Always.
Yeah. Right? At every minute.
Yeah. And so it can be very discouraging that even though we're devotees, we have to face separation, we have to face always difficulty. So where do we get the inspiration to continue on?
We should see every difficulty is simply a perspective. Actually, we should see everything as Krishna's special mercy at every minute. Mm-hmm. That's what we have to beat our mind with shoes and see and realize that everything that happens to me at every single instant is the special mercy of Krishna to help me purify my consciousness and come back to pure bhakti. That we should see it. Everything that happens to us at every minute of our whole life. That's how we should see it.
But sometimes that's too painful.
It's very difficult. I can't even offer obeisances right now. I'm in so much pain. Dandavas is like a torture. But I've offered 7 times Dandavas today. It's like torture, but I'm doing it because I need to do that for my consciousness and to show a good example also. So we have to, instead of shunning difficulty, we should embrace it. That's the key.
Even if it's painful.
Huh?
Even if it's painful.
That's right. We should embrace difficulty even if it's painful. And then, actually, by entering into that mood, the difficulties melt away and there's no such thing as difficulty anymore. That's when we get really mature and really sober. Right now, we're still intoxicated. That's the difficulty. Intoxicated, but I'm this body, I am male, I am female, I am this, I am that. We're intoxicated with these things, you see. When we actually become sober, then there's no such thing as difficulty. Everything is the sweetest nectar at every minute. Even death is a piece of, it's a gulab jamun. Yeah.
I was thinking of Gaur Kishordas Babaji. Gaur Kishordas Babaji has so much attraction to holy name. He refused going to the king's palace. He refused going to the best friend, richest friend. He was living in a narrow toilet so that nobody disturbs him from chanting. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur took a great interest in getting Babaji initiation and how he tried to put it off. But ultimately he had to give. In 1908, he gave initiation,
Babaji initiation, to Bhaktivinoda
Thakur. Gaur Kishordas Babaji.
I couldn't hear everything, but
I didn't hear everything.
All right. So, anything else? Any other points or questions? I can take them. Actually, we're over time. 8:30 is the cutoff, right?
Sunday.
Huh?
Sunday. Today being Sunday.
Oh, Sunday is a What's the cutoff time?
9?
Oh, well. Wow. 9 p.m., right? Actually, the original Bhagavatam class went for 7 days, But okay, namaparads. We should not preach to the faithless. The Lord Chaitanya says, whoever you meet, instruct him in the teachings of Krishna. This is a question we often deal with, you're not supposed to preach to the faithless. But no, it says don't believe, the statement is don't reveal the glories of the holy name to the faithless. In other words, that's a high level subject matter, that God and His name are one and the same. So the name Krishna is God Himself. You tell somebody, a materialist on the street, and he may make an offense. Oh, that's rubbish. So you don't give high-level information to a beginner. If you were a math teacher, would you try to teach calculus to a first grader? No. But you do teach 1 + 1 = 2, you see. Papa told us, first convince them they're not their bodies, you see. So there's no contradiction between what we say is don't preach the glories of the holy name of the faithless, and at the same time you say, tell everybody you meet about Krishna. That means the science of Krishna consciousness. You have to tell them what will help them come out of their illusion and come to a state where they're actually receptive to hear about Krishna the person, the name of Krishna, etc. We're told we must go out and tell everybody about this Krishna conscious science, but you have to tell them according to their level. You have to be intelligent and realize what this person needs at this particular point and how I can help them from their particular state of consciousness to come to a higher level gradually. Okay, let's see here. You were talking about taking shelter of previous acharyas who experienced the bliss, spiritual bliss of Krishna consciousness, as they have this treasure with them. On a practical level, how do we take shelter of previous acharyas? By taking shelter of your current acharya. That's the system. You don't jump over the head. You, just like I'm a disciple of Srila Prabhupada, by taking shelter of my beloved spiritual master's instructions and doing everything that he tells me to do, trying always molding my thoughts, my words, my deeds in all times, places, and circumstances so I can understand and be pleasing to him, that automatically connects me with all the previous acharyas. So that's the system. You go through your own spiritual master and you please him, and then by pleasing him you please all the previous acharyas. How to understand that we are not these bodies and realize this? Well, there's many different logical arguments. For example, when you're little, you have remembrances when you're a little child. Like I remember myself, in the baby crib sometime like about 1949 or something like that, watching a TV set, one of the original TV sets in the U.S. Sitting on the dresser there, on outside of my crib. So where is that body now? You see, yet I can remember experiences I had back when I was like 2 years old or 3 years old. Okay. So we all can have remembrances like when we were little children. But now the body is different, but still the remembrance is there. So it's very clear that the person in the body, and the even though the body is changing, is the same person now that was existing in that little baby's body, you see. So that way you can scientifically understand. Another interesting one is an experiment you can do. You say, okay, point to your elbow, point to your nose, point to your ear, point to yourself. People intuitively point right here to the heart, where the atma is actually situated. It's an interesting little experiment you can do if you're preaching to a group of people sometime. Say, well, do an experiment. Where is the self? And people almost always point right here. Point to the right here. Now point to yourself, they'll go right here. They won't go here, they're here, they'll go right here. You see? So, we actually intuitively understand I'm situated here. This is my actual position. So there are many, 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 many arguments that we can present, we can understand, we can analyze, and help us actually realize who we really are and who we're not. How should we act on the spiritual platform also? That's to always act on the spiritual platform. Prabhupada explains, you take the order of the spiritual master, your very life and soul. That's how to be always acting. Not only acting, you have to think, speak, and act. The point is this, if you learn how to always think in accordance with the scriptures, Shastra Chakshus, one who sees everything through the eyes of the scripture, one who actually always thinks in terms of the scripture, one should be intelligent enough to analyze their thoughts to see, am I thinking shastrically? If I'm thinking shastrically, that means I will speak shastrically, I will act shastrically in accordance with shastra. So this is the key. You have to learn it in the scripture, read all of Prabhupada's books very carefully again and again and again throughout your life. And a chapter a day is a very good program. Read a chapter of Gita every day. Prabhupada sometimes said we should do that. Read one chapter of Gita every day. So read a chapter of Gita every day. Read all the books. Keep yourself regularly reading and hearing this knowledge. And that way you can understand what is the proper way of thinking, what is the improper way of thinking, what is the proper way of speaking, what is the improper way of speaking, what is the proper way of acting, what is the improper way of acting. This is called self-discipline. We are disciples, right? Prabhupada said disciple means discipline. You can't just be whimsical and be a disciple. Disciple means disciplines himself or herself. You discipline your thoughts. You discipline the words coming out of your mouth. You discipline your actions to see that they're in harmony with the spiritual master. They're in harmony with the scriptures. This is how we become perfect. We're supposed to become perfect, isn't it? Are we supposed to remain imperfect? No. We're supposed to become perfect. Prabhupada wants us to become pure devotees who can see Krishna face to face. Prabhupada ordered me. He said, now you just become qualified to see Krishna face to face. You see? So we're meant to become pure devotees. You can't do that by being whimsical. You do that by becoming obedient to Guru and living in accordance with Shastra. That's how you achieve the perfectional stage. That's how we will achieve the perfectional stage. You mentioned that difficulties in a devotee's life is due to the special mercy of Krishna. How to get convinced of this fact that Krishna really intervenes in a devotee's personal life and strive to do things for him, a desire to do things for him, especially if the devotee has material attachments and is selfish. Actually, Krishna has unlimited love for every single jiva. Every single jiva soul is dearmost child of Krishna. Just like every child is dear to the parents, every single soul is very, very dear to Krishna. So when the soul falls into material existence, Krishna is doing everything he possibly can. He doesn't want to force you. He doesn't want to just drag you back to the spiritual world as a prisoner. You see? You have to come out of your own desire to reestablish your loving relationship with the Lord. But Krishna does everything He ties every conceivable way to bring us back to our original state of consciousness. At the same time, keeping us in our state of full independence. that full independence is important for Krishna, because otherwise we're just a robot. Who wants to associate with robots? They said, okay, Prabhu, we got a wife for you. She'll never complain. She'll do everything very nice. A robot. She'll just marry a robot, is it? So robot, there's no vasa or relationship with a robot. It's a machine. So Krishna doesn't want machines in the spiritual world. He wants persons who have the choice to love him or leave him, but choose to love him because they want to love him. You see? So when we make the foolish mistake, then Krishna has to somehow induce us to come back by our own, inspire us to have our desire to go back to him. So actually everything that's happening to us, through all these millions of lifetimes we've had here, it's all been arranged by Krishna through the help of assistance of Durga Devi to bring us back to that our position of loving relationship with him. How to develop renunciation from the material things. Actually, material things are ultimately spiritual, because everything is coming from God. You use it for sense gratification, it is material, but if you use it in Krishna's service, that thing regains its original spiritual nature. It's like here we have a microphone, for example. You see. If you use this microphone for some material purpose, it is material. But when you use it in Krishna's service, it becomes a spiritualized microphone. This building, previously it was something else before the devotees purchased this building. It was contaminated with sense gratification. But now this building is being used in Krishna's service. It becomes non-different from the spiritual world, you see. So the key is, by engaging material things in the service of Krishna, they regain their original spiritual nature. So, take your material body and use it for Krishna. This is why traditionally spiritual masters or sannyasis, they don't burn their bodies, because their body was fully absorbed in serving Krishna. Their body is buried and it becomes a place of pilgrimage. You see, because that body was spiritualized. It's like Prabhupada's body is buried there in the samadhi in Vrindavan. We go there to come close to those physical remains of Prabhupada's body. They're not material, they're spiritual. You see? So material thing used in Krishna's service becomes spiritual. How to keep focused on the spiritual goal in all circumstances? That's why we have to have 16 rounds of japa. You see? You begin your day by focusing on Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. You have your own personal darshan with Krishna every morning. Krishna is fully present in the form of his holy names. Radharani is there, Hare. Krishna, the name Krishna is Krishna. The name Rama is also Krishna. So by chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, you're directly associating with Radha and Krishna every day. And if you have to, you take that very seriously, that now I'm tuning in my consciousness, understanding my real goal of life is simply to please Radha and Krishna. I have no other goal, no other purpose of existence except to please my beloved Radha and Krishna. You see, if you begin your day meditating like that, Then you go out for your day's activities. Naturally you'll have the mood of offering all of it to Krishna. You see. So good sadhana is the key. Studying Bhagavatam, Prabhupada said every day. So if you can't attend Bhagavatam here, you should have a Bhagavatam class at home. Read the Bhagavatam at home with your family. All the kids are going to school, you're going to work. Well, get up early, chant, have a sing Gurbhastakam prayers together, worship the Tulsi. The more you can do these things, like we do in the temple, in your home, the temple is an example of what you should do at home. You can make it minimum, you can make it a more like a, you know, streamlined thing because of your schedule, but you should try to do a replica of the morning program in your own home every day. And this will transform your consciousness. You will see everything in relation with Krishna, whether you're at work, at home, at school, in the commute, wherever you are, by a very good sadhana. You'll be able to see everything in relationship with Krishna throughout the day. One devotee said, attend Mangal Arati and magic will happen. Magic will happen. Is Hare Krishna a religion? Hare Krishna is not a religion. Hare Krishna is religion. There's a difference. A religion means there's this religion, there's that religion. This is not true religion. This is called religiosity. This idea of many religions is not religious. It's an irreligious concept. Many religions. Religion is one to become reestablished in a loving relationship with that Supreme Person. Whether you call him Krishna or Allah or Jehovah, you see, there is one Supreme Person. That is religion. To become totally sold-out servant of that Supreme Person who has unlimited names, unlimited qualities, unlimited pastimes. That is religion. So Krishna consciousness is presenting religion to the world. Prabhupada told us, he said, if you will simply absorb yourself in reading, chanting, and preaching, fully absorb yourself in these three things, reading, chanting, and preaching, very soon this will be accepted as the only position in the world. Letter of Hinayana Maharaj. So, religion is one. Religion is a perversion of religion. It's a perversion of religion. We respect all the great acharyas. Even Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, Hajar Muhammad was a Shaktivesh avatar. Pretty shocking. But he said, Hajar Muhammad is a Shaktivesh avatar. And Lord Jesus, also Shaktivesh avatar. So, we have to understand there's actually only one religion. Now, that one religion, you see, they pervert it. Even they take it for some material purpose. That's the problem. Now, I was trained as a little boy to take religion for material purpose. My mother said, my dear son, what would you like for Christmas? I said, Mommy, I want a pair of cowboy boots. She said, okay. My dear son, every night you must pray to God for a pair of cowboy boots for Christmas. And what did I get under the tree on Christmas morning? A pair of cowboy boots. So Mom wanted to teach me how to have faith in God by using the cowboy boots. But was I learning, was I developing faith in God? No, just I was learning you ask God for what you want. That's what I was, the mistraining I got. You see, that's going on everywhere. At least like in Hinduism also, you know. That song, Jai Jagadish Hari, they're actually praying for... there was one spoof of that song. Give me a Cadillac, a brand new Cadillac, replete with Michelin tires. Give my wife a new silk sari. Give my kids a Harvard education. Give me a house by the sea. Om Jaya Jagannath. The Hindus do it, the Christians do it, the Muslims do it. Everybody is doing this thing. They're approaching God for material sense gratification. And this is not religion. This is irreligion, actually. Irreligion means Sarvadharman Puritvaja. Christ teaches exactly the same thing in the Bible. He says, Father, not my will, but thy will be done. That's Sarvadharman Puritvaja. Jesus is also teaching pure bhakti. But the Christians don't understand this, you see. And Hindus don't understand. Nobody understands. But Prabhupada understands. These great acharyas, they understand. It's our duty now to have a proper understanding of what real religion means and to live a true religious life and to encourage everybody on the planet to take up true religious life. They can remain Christians, Hindus, Jews, Jains, Sikhs, Muslims. That's okay. But let everyone understand the pure science of love of God. I was a Christian minister in North Carolina who very much appreciates our philosophy. In fact, he used to send me copies of his sermons that he was giving on Sunday morning in using Christian language to present the science of Krishna consciousness to his congregation. And he ended up getting initiated. Now, he secretly initiated ISKCON devotee. His congregation doesn't know. But this is the universal science. Krishna consciousness is the universal science. It's the universal religion. So, take it very seriously. Take this as a mission, that I must become a pure devotee and I must try to spread pure bhakti as much as possible as I can on this planet for the rest of my life. You see, live your life in this mood. And I guarantee you, when you go to sleep at the time of death, you'll wake up with Krishna. Be Krishna be smiling a big smile. Krishna be smiling a big smile. Guaranteed. So we thank you all very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.